Hi everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we're going to take a look at a birth chart. This birth chart comes from one of my students with permission, so a big thanks to her for volunteering today. We're going to illustrate a few different techniques. One is going to be how to read planets in places, or in other words, how to read in modern terms, how to read a planet in a house, and looking at house rulerships and topical distributions in the chart. And then we're going to also talk about some very basic ways that you can do a forecast without even needing to use a bi-wheel or an ephemeris. So just some simple tips. The reason that I like to do these videos is twofold. One, I like to help people out there who don't maybe have the time, energy, money to take classes, but they're trying to study on their own, to give them some resources for learning how to read birth charts and just some basic tips, especially for those people who are studying Hellenistic astrology. And the second reason is obviously to give you some sense of the kinds of things that you learn in my programs. My new program, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, is coming up, starts in June. You can learn more about it on my website, nightlightastrology.com. Go to the courses page and go to the first year course page in particular. Of course, my second year program and my horary program are also starting in June. And there's a new program that's starting in the fall, in the very beginning of December. So there's a lot going on. You can check out there. If you have any questions, email us info@nightlightastrology.com to ask your questions. Also, the early bird rate is in effect. We have need-based tuition for people who need some help. And also payment plan if you need it. So the early bird, you save about $500 off when you register before the start of the program, and that's available now on the website. Okay, so that being said, let's take a look at our chart for the day, and I'm going to walk you through some basic delineation techniques, especially around planets and places. So I can't go through every single thing in the chart, that would take forever, but I want to highlight a few things. When I look at this chart, one of the first things that I do is I take a look at the sun and the moon and the rising sign. Those are three universal significators, so-called by Robert Schmidt, who was one of the earliest and best translators of the Hellenistic source text material from an organization that was called Project Hindsight. He and a bunch of other astrologers were really invested in interpreting these texts. And one of the things that he noticed was that ancient astrologers had certain approaches that they took when reading charts that would involve the reading of certain symbols to gain very broad information about the life as a whole. And they tended to look at the sun and the moon, the luminaries or lights, as well as the ascendant planets in the first house or its ruler. So in this chart, if I just start with those three positions, a few things stick out to me. One is that this individual was born under a full moon in the 12th house. And also that puts the sun in the sixth. Those are challenging houses. So I'm anticipating right away, maybe a little bit of a difficult life story, or at least some of the challenging themes of the sixth and the 12th house playing a big role, especially the 12th house moon. I would also look at the ascendant ruler, Capricorn rising, and I look at Saturn in the, in the ninth house to get a feeling for that. So let's just start there and look at each of them. Maybe we'll start with the ascendant ruler. I look at the ascendant ruler. It's Capricorn rising. Think of that earthy, hardworking, tenacious, Saturn-like personality, oftentimes very sober, mature, serious, hardworking, disciplined, dutiful. Of course, there's shadows to Capricorn too, but those are, when I'm working with a client, I generally try to look for the positive in any placement first. And kind of say, okay, this person's going to have that sort of tenacious Capricornian mentality. Now, you could do all sorts of things if you're practicing Hellenistic astrology, like look at the sect or, the dignity, the house placement. There's a list of kind of like a hierarchy of principles that you might use to evaluate the condition of Saturn, for example. I'm just going to keep it simple today and look at planets and places. What does it mean if the ascendant ruler is in the ninth house? Well, when it comes to the character, the body, the appearance, the vitality, and the general sense of psychology that I get from this person, I know that aside from being Saturnine and Capricorn-like, that it's going to be a Saturn in Virgo type of personality. And more, even more specifically, that this is Saturn in Virgo in the ninth house. I could look at the north node of the moon too, but again, just keeping it simple. And I find that keeping it simple is really important, because the more that you try to add in right away in your interpretation, the harder it's going to be because you have to synthesize so many things at first. It's easier to just start with a very basic set of delineation principles. So, for example, what does Saturn in the ninth mean? And we'll put personal emphasis on these things because this is the ascendant ruler. So it's going to describe the native themselves. The first house was associated with the native, their appearance, their body, their psychology, constitution. It was the only house said to be belong to the topics of the native spirit and soul. So in the ninth, they might be interested in religion, long journeys, foreign countries, higher education, the law, etc. So these are the basic ninth house topics. And if I started reading like this, which I did with this is a student of mine who was also a client of mine in the past. And when looking at this, what does this translate to immediately? Well, this person has spent the bulk, I think they said it was like 20 years or 16 or 17 years or something like that. And only about 4 or 5 of them have been spent living here in the United States. The rest of them have been spent living and working abroad in foreign countries. So when you see the ruler of the ascendant in the ninth house, one of your potential delineations is that there will be a personal, strong, like interest in foreign cultures or countries, or the person will literally work abroad or travel a lot or something like that. Now, it could be that you get more of the story of religion or more of the story of higher education or something about the law. So when delineating, what I would typically do with a person such as this is I would say, look, here's the different topics that I see your life probably becoming focused on. And I would list all of them. I would just say these different topics look like they're front and center. When I do that, I immediately, because I've thrown my dart at the dart board rather than the bullseye, I not only hit the board, but I hit close to the bullseye because the person says, oh my gosh, wow, that's incredible. Yeah, I've spent a huge amount of my life in foreign countries. As opposed to if I say, you're going to have a lot to do with religion, and they say, no, I've nothing to do with religion, then I will have tried to hit the bullseye but missed the board. So generally speaking, when delineating, we want to remember that, you know, just like weather patterns have a variety of ways of appearing and being experienced. So how do I describe, you know, a rainy or cloudy day with a certain kind of temperature? There's a variety of different languages that I might use or descriptions that I might give. As long as I'm getting close to describing rain, then I'm going to be okay because everyone can agree. Yeah, that's rain. As long as I'm describing Saturn in the ninth and getting that part right, then there's a good chance that, the person is going to feel like I've just done good astrology for them because I say, hey, look, there's this ninth house focus. I couldn't tell you exactly just by looking at it what that focus will be. Will it be religion? Will it be someone who's kind of a really devout, you know, believer, or will it be someone who had some kind of difficult experience with religion? You know, it could go either way with Saturn in the ninth. So similarly, is it someone who's had trouble with the law? Is it someone who is a lawyer? Is it someone who is an immigrant who's experienced prejudice? Or is it someone who's worked or lived abroad? It's hard to say with Saturn in the ninth. But if I mention, what is Saturn? You know, what is Saturn? Hard work, duty, sometimes ostracization or feeling like an outsider. And then I mention the topics of religion, foreign countries, et cetera. Then this person immediately gets like, yeah, wow, that's me. You know, I've lived and worked abroad for a long time. And, you know, a big part of my life is feeling like an outsider in foreign countries. Okay. So the next thing that stands out to me is the moon. I want to give equal credit to all the sun, moon, and the rising sign, I go, look at the moon in this chart. It's a full moon. It was just about full. And it is ruling the seventh house of marriage. Okay. So first of all, that for me right away, this is a nighttime chart. The moon is its sect light, and the moon is in the 12th and is the ruler of the marriage house. So now you can take this and say, well, what does the moon represent? Broadly speaking, the environment of our life. It's like water to the fish. The fish doesn't even necessarily know the difference between themselves and water on a certain level. It's just the medium that they're used to living and being in. So the moon is like that too. It really gives us the stage set on the in the theater. It says, you know, here's a plot. The plot line is often driven by the sun, whereas the moon is going to tell us something about the environment. Now, that environment can be psychological and bodily. It can be familial. It can be about the community we grow up in or different kinds of circumstances in the environment that we have no control over. It can also be about fate or fortune, meaning that destined events that happen that are in some ways beyond our control, but end up having this huge impact on the shape and contours of our life. Anyway, so I'm looking at this going, a full moon ruling the marriage house. And one thing to note is that the applying full moon was often spoken of as a sign of someone or something that could become possessed by a god, a muse, or could indicate someone becoming possessed almost in a negative sense, like losing their mind or something like lunacy, the word lunatic. So I'm looking at this and going, what is there a spouse or is there a story around marriage, maybe with roots back into one's own family or one's own parents, but perhaps one's own marriage as well that involves loss or mental health problems or you know, the kinds of 12th house things that can happen, abandonment or isolation or distance or something like that. And in fact, this woman not only has lived and worked abroad for most of her life, but is also the mother of three children, a single mother of three children. The father is not in the picture any longer and in fact was incarcerated. So you have the ruler of the seventh in the 12th. And big story of her life has been about, she's also had the help of her own mother in raising her children without their father. And you know, and obviously he had some real struggles and went to prison. So this is a huge part of her life, the environmental condition of the hardship of mothering and parenting because of an absent spouse who went to prison. So moon ruling the seventh in the 12th. Now, the other piece of this is, of course, the challenge of, you know, rising up and persevering through hardships. That's a part of the nature of the 12th house, which is called the joy of Saturn. So we also have that Saturn-like character, Capricorn. One of the things that this can mean when you put it all together is that this person, especially when you see that Saturn and the moon are in a whole sign square with one another, that this person has had to overcome adversity, especially around marriage and parenting. And they've done so while living and working abroad for most of their life. So some big themes there. Another piece of this, of course, is going to be the sun in the sixth house. Now, the sun in the sixth house is interesting in this chart because a lot of the times when you have someone with the sun in the sixth, that can mean, okay, that their life path is going to go through the sixth house topics. The story or the plot line is going to go through the sixth house topics, and that can be somewhat challenging. It can be challenging because the sixth is a place that is often associated with hard labor, with little recognition or reward, with misfortunes, sickness, accidents, injuries. It's associated sometimes with slavery or servitude, but also especially if a planet in the sixth house has any connection to something Mars-like for a living, it can be a very strong placement. For example, Muhammad Ali, a boxer, had his son in the sixth house. Why? The sixth house was traditionally called the joy of Mars. And so it has a Mars-like quality to the house. And so sometimes you're going to see people who are fighters, warriors, activists. For example, Bernie Sanders has his moon in Mars and is in the rectified chart that's out there in the sixth house. So you get that kind of like activist, justice, fighter, but also people who fix things that are broken, people who work in the trenches, military, and so forth. So in this case, what's so interesting about this is that the sun is also in a very close trine to the degree of the midheaven, which means that not only will this person probably do something that's sort of Mars-like or sixth house-like, for a living, or that their life path will work through that house, but it will probably find success, greater success, because when a sixth house planet trines the midheaven, you'll see in some ancient delineation texts that that is considered to be like a mitigation for a sixth house planet. So interestingly enough, sun in a Mercury ruled sign in the sixth house, this person has worked for the military in technology and data. And that's part of why they've traveled around the world. So they've been in military technology and data for, the bulk of their career. And that's taken them all over and abroad. So literally working for a Mars-like organization, but doing Mercurial-like Gemini things and having a great degree, relatively speaking, having great success, meaning moving up and doing better and so forth. So these are just interesting tidbits about the chart that you can see. Another thing that's kind of strong here is when you see the second house ruler in the ninth, you know that you'll probably make your money abroad somehow. So that's been the case for sure. You can see Jupiter in the eighth. You don't even have to read the planet as the ruler of a house. I mean, you could, but you don't have to. So for example, Jupiter in the eighth house, one of the things that she has dealt with has been she's done well with some investing. So she's had some gains through investments, which is quite common when Jupiter is in the eighth house of other people's money, that you'll often benefit through other people investing your money or investing other people's money, or there may be some good sign for investments when Jupiter's in the eighth. Now, okay, so the other thing here that's worth mentioning is that you wouldn't necessarily think with a Libra in 10th house and a midheaven in Libra that this person would be in the military. It seems like peace or balance or beauty. And then you look at Venus with Mars in the fifth house. Well, it's funny, this person started off as a little high school entrepreneur doing, girls' hair from her own house. And throughout her career, she's always had side jobs, side gigs that have involved the goddess, the arts, beauty, creativity, and also spirituality. I find this interesting because a constant throughout her life, in addition to foreign countries and the military, has been her interest in spirituality, astrology, and things like that. And she's had a strong way of weaving together. You notice Venus and Taurus in the fifth house, a place that's very creative, kind of entrepreneurial endeavors that go together with her interest in spirituality and religion. So, and a lot of those entrepreneurial endeavors have been very sensual and Venusian in general. In fact, one of her businesses incorporates the idea of the goddess. So I thought that was all just really, really, fascinating. Now, a couple of things that are worth mentioning around timing. So in looking at this chart, here's a few things that you can do hopefully that gives you, just as a side before I go forward, that gives you some sense of how to read planets and places and how diverse a chart can be based on which planet is in which house and what the planets represent as universal significators. It can just give you a ton of information, as simple as learning how to read planets and houses. That's a big part of my program and what we learn in my program as well. Anyway, so in terms of forecasting, you can include the outer planets or not. In my second year program, when I teach forecasting, I teach how to do both. If you're just going for a traditional view on the forecasts in the chart right now, for example, you can see that the great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn just occurred in her second house, whole sign house of Aquarius, moving into an opposition with Jupiter. So some of her investments in cryptocurrencies paid off quite significantly as these planets change signs into her second house. And she's also, as a result, gotten a financial advisor to help her make bigger and more long-term decisions with some of these gains that she's been seeing. So there's big shift in her life around money and finances right now, as Jupiter and Saturn have opposed that natal Jupiter. Of course, Uranus in Taurus has been hitting that Jupiter as well recently. The other interesting thing is that in 2018, when Uranus entered the fifth house of Taurus, it was right around that time, as Uranus ingressed into the fifth, that some of her creative entrepreneurial ideas, including that idea of the goddess, the idea of creativity, beauty, the arts, femininity, and her spirituality in the side business that she created, that started in right around 2018, just after Uranus ingressed into Venus's house in the fifth. I thought that was really, of course, very fitting. The other thing that's very interesting is that if you look at her zodiacal releasing reports, and this is something I teach in my second year program, you'll see that starting in November of 2017, This client entered into an 8-year long Libra period, which is her 10th house. That's her career house. And so not only during that time did she get, was she formulating the idea for her new business, but she also shifted into private civilian work and came away from official military work. So her job completely changed as this new 8-year career house period opened up. So there's different ways of looking at it. You can use zodiacal releasing. You could look at an outer planetary transit. These are all things that I teach in my second year program after teaching all of the fundamentals of ancient astrology and showing you a lot about how to read for people with a whole bunch of live clients that come in. So in terms of what's happening next in the chart, she is about to receive eclipses in the signs of the sun and the moon. There's a May 26th eclipse, a June 10th eclipse, a December 4th eclipse, back and forth, two in Sagittarius and one in Gemini. Those eclipses could bring up, changes around work with the sun, especially. We know that the sun is very intimately connected to her contracting work with the government at this point, doing very similar things with data that she did for the military. And so the contracting work could change with a solar eclipse coming around your sun during eclipse season while Mercury is retrograde in the sign of the sun. Because we know how heavily invested the sun is in the career path, likely that we could see changes around those kinds of things, changes around the nature of jobs or contracts or things like that. And that would come from June onward, probably June and July in particular after the eclipse. The moon in the 12th, that's going to bring up things like marriage and family karma, mothering karma, the health of, you know, her mom helps out. She was maybe saying, I'm a little bit worried about mom's health. Understandable when eclipses are coming over the moon. Does that mean something tragic will happen? No, but it could be a year where, you know, there's just a little bit more vulnerability there around parenting, around, you know, her mom or her mom's health. It could be also that there's a significant amount of time that you have to spend away from your children or family. And in fact, that's what's about to happen. She's going to take about a 3-month leave to another country on her own, as far as I, as she communicated to me. So the eclipse around the moon that's happening at the end of May will sync up with a period of time where she has to be away and on her own, which is very common for a 12th house type of eclipse, where you have a period of solitude or isolation or remoteness, so health could be a concern, mental health, emotional health, issues around marriage and relationships with the moon ruling the 7th. But that's a little bit more, the eclipses on the moon are going to be a little bit more trying emotionally, personally, and in the more vulnerable spheres of life. By the end of the year, around December, when you get a solar eclipse there, things should be starting to turn a corner. So these are just some very brief forecasting techniques. Now, one thing that you can also do with zodiacal releasing is you can break down the periods into further sub-periods. For example, if we look at where she is right now, within this 8-year Libra period, she's going through from October of last year all the way to December of 2022. She's in a sub-period, a level 2 period that's in Capricorn in the first house. So a period of initiating new things, often because this is a first house period. If you break that down further, you could go down into level 3 and look at, you know, sub periods there in terms of where she is right now. We won't do that. We're just kind of keeping it very basic for today. But the gist of it is that within this 8-year cycle that's focused on big changes around the career in the 10th house, between October of last year and December of 2022, this individual is in a first house Capricorn period where there's going to be the initiation of a lot of new things. And remember, that probably will involve other countries. It wouldn't surprise me during this period between now and the end of 2022, especially given the upcoming eclipse over the sun, which has so much to do with this person's work, to see some kind of other contract in another country come up. So at any rate, again, just a few things to fill your cup for the day. I hope that you guys enjoyed this. If you like studying astrology and you want to go deeper with it, you like this kind of stuff, you're just like, I want to be immersed in this and learn how to do this, either if it's for yourself or reading for other people, check out my course, Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. This is a program, a very structured and guided program through the core principles, both philosophically, spiritually, and practically of Hellenistic astrology. And we host, you know, it's about 100 hours worth of classroom content that I teach live through Zoom meetings. You don't have to be there. You can follow along remotely if you can't make the live meetings. I have people from all over the world in different time zones that participate remotely. All of the classes are video recorded, that you get to keep them forever. There's tons of bonus material, guest lectures, and so forth. There's breakout study sessions, and you can email me anytime with questions, and we have Q&A, live Q&A with students in class. And yeah, it's a really deep dive into Hellenistic astrology. And a lot of people will follow it up with my year two program. I have a horary program, and I also have a new program called Readings and Passages, which is an extended amount of live readings. Most people really love the live readings that I do at the end of my first year program. You'll see me do about 8 or 9 live readings with guests, and you'll see all of the techniques employed in actual readings with people. And then after the client leaves the classroom, we break down the session and workshop it. So, and workshop the chart together. And you get those charts in advance, so you can kind of test your skills and come up using the delineation techniques, see how close you get to the way that I end up reading and what ends up being the, you know, each person's story. So anyway, it's a great program. Check it out. If you have any questions, again, email me info@nightlightastrology.com. And we will be back together again tomorrow for a wrap up on the week. All right. Take care, everyone. Bye.